Welcome to the weekly podcast from the Church of England. This week we get an update on what the Anglican Church is doing in Greece to help refugees. We also hear from the Bishop of Swindon on the leadership programme for senior leaders. But first, churches and communities around the country are offering help and support to refugees arriving in this country. In last week's podcast, we heard from a vicar in Stoke-on-Trent in the Lichfield Diocese, where a support group for refugees has been running for 2 years. The diocese has also responded in various ways to the current crisis. I started by asking Neil Harvey-Smith from the diocese how they got involved.
It started with local response to local need. As last week's podcast, you will have heard, Sally Smith in Hanley in Stoke-on-Trent set up a project a couple of years ago responding to the fact that there were large numbers of people seeking asylum who were dispersed to Stoke-on-Trent, and there was a real local need to welcome them, to give them a place of friendship, and actually to offer some services to help people who often are just left with very little money, often English is their second language, and without the real support that they need in order to build up themselves as part of a community. So the church really stepped in there. As the crisis has developed, I think what we've seen is a stepping up of that response as well. So at our recent diocesan event, we had 2,000 people come together. We showed a video about what's going on at Sanctus, and the response to that was incredible. We had churches donating money, obviously joining in prayer to pray for that project, but also asking, is there something that we can do locally to respond to that?
It's interesting you say that a lot of the churches, I mean, Sally's project, as you've talked about, was set up 2 years ago to sort of help with the need for when refugees came in. So almost in a way, a lot of your churches were sort of prepared for this, would you say?
I think it's an advantage of clearly the Church of England having a presence in every community, that where there is a local need, a church can be attuned to that well before it hits the front pages. And I think, you know, that's what you've seen in Stoke-on-Trent. But also, as recent times, we know that there are going to be 100 people a week coming from Syria as part of the government's response. I suppose the challenge to the church is that we ask the government to act. How can we now act to make sure that when people come into our communities, that they receive a real welcome, that they are received with friendship, and that there is support?
In your blog, you give lots of examples of refugees who have come over to the Lichfield Diocese. What stories stand out in your mind?
Well, I think of some of the people that I met at Sanctus. I think of a young guy who's come over who hadn't seen his mum for over a year before he came over here, and is absolutely full of life, learning English as quickly as he can, suffered a tragic loss back at home. And the thing that stands out from listening to him and his stories is just how beset on every side he and his family were by people who wished them ill, and the real terror whenever he sort of revisits those memories in his mind. And it is something very humbling and terrible to see that in the eyes of a young boy who's only 15 years old. So I think that's where the church, you know, really has to step in and say, look, we can be a place of welcome, but we need to communicate that, and we need to have something there so that people can really know that that invitation is extended to them.
Adrian Dauber, who's the Dean of Lichfield, has suggested ways in which people can help. So the cathedral are very much involved in this too.
Yes, along with the parish and the diocesan response, there has been a very strong cathedral response. And what Adrian Dauber has said is that there really are practical things that can be done. But I guess in a way that only a cathedral can, he's tried to engage the entire community. The public meeting that he held had about 150 people coming along at very short notice. And it showed there is a real appetite and interest for giving practical support. The question is how. And I think it's great that the cathedral is part of that answer. The wider challenge for our church is that we know that over 95% of refugees globally never make it to Europe or even necessarily want to come to Europe, but are in countries very close to where the conflicts are happening. So when the front pages change, it's important that we continue to keep people who are refugees very close to our hearts and to think about how we can have a response for them that continues all year round.
Neil Harvey-Smith from the Diocese of Lichfield. Elsewhere in Europe, refugees are continuing to travel through Greece. We heard from a vicar in Athens a few weeks ago. To get an update on the situation there, I spoke to Christine Sakali, a member of the Anglican Church in Athens. I started by asking her what the situation is like there at the moment.
It varies at the moment. The refugees are just using Athens as a staging post. They're coming through Piraeus. It's being used as a service centre to get their papers. Then they're coming up on the metro. They're stopping at stations. And as the weather becomes worse, they're actually camping out in the station to avoid the rain.
So I understand you've had the first rain of the season today. Now, this is obviously going to have a really big impact on the refugees, isn't it?
Yes, the weather's changing and the weather is moving down towards the island. So that is going to make the sea crossing even more dangerous with the winds too.
What sort of pictures are you seeing from the islands at the moment?
Desperate people, overcrowded islands. Often the population, the refugees number many more than does the local population, even in the tourist season, as it is the end of at the moment. There are no facilities. There are no toilets, food, water, or any reception centres, just what local people and volunteers can provide.
And what is the response from local people to the refugees?
I think there's a big tension. They know this tide is not going to stop. They are sympathetic towards them because some of them were refugees originally themselves and were settled there. But on the other hand, they're looking towards their own livelihood, the tourist season, and trying to survive in an economic and humanitarian crisis that Greece is suffering from.
Now, one of the points you've made in the blog, you say that although what's happened in the last few months is unprecedented, this isn't a new issue for certainly the islands, the Greek islands.
I would say in the last 10 years and more, there have been some holding camps on the islands and refugees have been sort of hidden away in those. Actually, I should say economic migrants, because the refugee phenomenon is quite new to Greece on this scale.
Now, Greece itself is a country sort of in transition at the moment. You've had another election this week. How do you think local people are coping? It just seems to be a difficult situation for everybody.
It is an incredibly difficult situation for everybody. And out and about, as I was yesterday after the election, you get a wide variety of views. One, they should go back to their homeland. Another, they should travel on up through Greece, as is happening, but of course there's a bottleneck at the borders and we fear that could get worse. And there are people who just come round to my house and drop off whatever they can to give to the refugees. Neither attitude is very helpful, because we can't always get possessions. We can't always get material goods to the refugees. What is needed is sites for the refugees to have respite, maybe a hotel in here in Athens, a transit hotel where parents with sick children can just get the right medical care they need before moving on. And obviously people need food and water, and as the weather gets worse, some kind of shelter.
What is the Anglican Church doing, particularly in Athens, to try and help?
Well, we have an ongoing collection for refugees and have, as far as I remember, since I've been involved in the chaplaincy for 15 years. That is a trickle, a small gift, but it does provide useful things to other charities. The Anglican Church is there to raise awareness, I would say. We raise awareness in the way that the church does for reaching out and caring for the poor, which we believe is our gospel imperative. I think that these people, they need to be open camps. I think people need to be helped in a dignified way and treated as individuals, not as a mass. And I think the EU needs to try and work together to provide a solution. We all know that that is not easy. And we all know that the refugees here in Greece are just passing through and that they are going to end up in somebody else's doorstep. And we don't want this not in my backyard syndrome. We need care and concern and reaching out to them.
Christine Sackerley there. And both Neil and Christine have written blogs about the response to the refugee crisis, which you can find on the front page of the Church of England's website. Finally this week, the Bishop of Swindon, Lee Rayfield, has been speaking about his experience of the leadership programme. There's been one session so far. I started by asking him how he'd found it.
It was a really both engaging, stimulating, inspiring and disturbing exercise. The disturbance was, how does one process all this and apply it to the role we have as bishops, the specific area I minister in the Diocese of Bristol. So it's about discerning from that what is really the gold, I guess, and how it might apply to being a bishop in the Church of England. I'm trying to apply what I've learned and distill what's really wise practice that would really help us engage with what God's calling us to be and to do, and those things which really, you know, they either won't work, they're not relevant, or actually they're flawed. I was hearing things and experiencing things through a business lens, but what I'm now doing is both applying that lens to what I do as a bishop, but also applying the lens of theological reflection, assessing things about with our context and seeing where is that a truth that maybe I've lost sight of in the organization that is the Church of England. And I think there was some real insight from that, which I think I can apply.
Is it challenging you?
It sure is. Yes, it is. It's making me really think about things. It's making me assess. One of the challenging things, well, it was quite fun, really, but also challenging, was the Google camera, which we were told about. I don't know whether it's been invented or they're working on it, but what it does is it watches people as they come to work. And as they leave, it sounds a bit, could sound a bit intimidating, couldn't it? But what they've been trying to do is find out how enthusiastic, energized people are by what they're engaged in day to day. The camera can sort of pick up basically the profile of people and give some kind of measure of how energized people are. And I remember talking to a congregation about this and saying, you know, imagine we have one of those cameras over the church door as we came in. You know, the difference between what they might be looking at in management, etc., or in Google, would be they want people to come through those doors energized and leave energized. It doesn't matter how people come through those doors to us. But when they go out, we want to see a lift. We want to see that they have found something that is energizing them, lighting their fires. And if churches could do more of that, that would be fantastic. It was a funny idea, wasn't it? But it captured the imagination of quite a few of us.
The Bishop of Swindon, Lee Rayfield. That's it for this week's podcast. I'm Gillian Moody. Thanks for listening.